Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. We are in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read the first four verses of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let's go to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and thankful for the opportunity to gather together, Lord, and to encourage one another and to lift each other up, and Lord, to come together here a portion of your word. And Lord, just ask that as we learn more about you and the things you'd have us to do, Lord, that we apply it to our lives and that we may be found obedient in serving you. And Lord, if we're lacking, that we acknowledge this, Lord, and make it right with you. Lord, just ask you'll continue to watch and care over us. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I had titled my message a couple of different things. Followers of God becoming saints. And I decided to do it called to be saints. My text verse doesn't use that exact phrase, but I'll show you where I take that title. Sometimes, you know, the Lord lays on my heart to do different things, and I get interested in different words and studies. And something that has always been interesting to me is the idea of saints and the Bible using the word saints, and what does that mean, and how we or how the Bible views saints versus how some religious groups view the concept of saints. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning from a biblical standpoint. And what does it mean, called to be saints? What does it mean, the word saint, and how does that apply to my life, if it applies to my life? In our text verse, these first four verses, It is pretty simple in how it starts. We find that it talks there, followers of God. It's interesting, this is the only place that phrase is used, followers of God. If I don't change my mind, if the Lord doesn't lay on my heart to change my mind, next week I'm going to talk about following Jesus. That phrase or the idea, the concept of following Christ is used often. But the idea of followers of God, therefore, as a result of what he's been saying in all these other chapters up to chapter 4, we don't have time to go over all that review, but we're to be followers of God. And how do we do that? As dear children. Young children will follow you, do what you tell them to do. Sometimes, right? but they have a desire to please. And then it goes on and talks about what followers of God are to do. The second verse tells us that we are to walk in love, and it gives us the example, love as Christ has loved us. That's a pretty powerful example that we are to walk in. It's interesting, that word walk, I don't remember the exact verse, I think it's Galatians 5, where it says walk in the Spirit. It's the same word here where it says walk in love. And that word literally means to immerse yourself in it. You ever seen a child go and find a puddle, right? And they start splashing, and eventually they're all wet, and anyone else around them, walk in love. That's the idea, immerse ourselves as he has, and as he has given an offering, and this is pleasing, sweet-smelling savor. This is pleasing to God. And then the second thing followers of God to do, first, walk in love. Second, as becometh saints, and this is the concept that we are going to consider, as becometh, or what is fitting for saints, right? That's the idea there. It is not fitting, let not this be named among you. It is not fitting, the things we're going to talk about, those negative things. It's not fitting to be named among saints, those that are trying to serve the Lord. And then the third one, we walk in love, we act as saints. We'll talk about what that means. And then the third one is we give thanks. So followers of God, it's pretty simple, right? What followers of God are to do in the positive. Walk in love, act like saints, do things that are fitting, becoming of saints, and we are to to give thanks. Now, what are we not to do in verse 3 and 4? There's two lists of three things that we aren't to do. In verse 3, it says, let it not be once named among you. This isn't even something that we, as the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, should ever be accused of. And what are those? Sexual sins, uncleanliness or lustful living, living like the world, and greediness. I don't know. I'm afraid sometimes we get wrapped up just like the world does too. But we, as becometh saints, or live a life that is befitting a saint, these shouldn't even be named among us. Somebody should never be accused or be guilty of these as one that is living a life fit for a saint. And we'll define that. And then, so the first three are actions. Verse 3 talks about three actions that we aren't to do. The fourth verse talks about language, how we aren't to talk. Filthiness or obscene language, foolish talking, jesting. And the word there actually has the idea of vulgar talk. And so our language is also supposed to be as become a saint. Or and these are not convenient, but rather, instead of this ugly language that sometimes proceeds out of our mouth, we should be giving thanks, taking our time to be thankful unto the Lord. So we're going to talk about this idea of saints, what is fitting for saints, the actions for us. We're also going to take a look at what it talks about called to be saints. The idea of this saints, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back, how some people view it in our world today. Some see saints as a special class of believers who have been voted, canonized is the word. Canonized, the process in which some religious groups confers sainthood. They vote whether or not, and the person has to be dead. I think if they are already dead, God probably already is determined, right? I'm not sure why my vote matters, right? But it's interesting, and this honor is bestowed posthumously after they're dead. I don't know if I said it right. I worked really hard at saying that right, and I'm sure I didn't, but it's after they're dead. And these groups also believe that we are to offer up prayers unto these that have been sainted by vote. And these views sometimes even make it in our Bibles. You have a Bible? You're at church, maybe you have a Bible. Turn to Matthew. What does your title say? St. Matthew. Mine says just Matthew. Anybody else has St. Matthew? It's interesting. Now, if you go to every one of the Gospels, it will say the title. Now, if it says according to St. Matthew, all other of the Gospels are going to say that. It's interesting. It will also say that the revelation of St. John. It's actually the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? But it will say St. John. Now, what's interesting, if you go to any other of the books, the epistles, written by John. You go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you go to Peter, if you go to James, if you go to books written by Paul, like Colossians or Corinthians, it will just say the letter written by whoever. It won't call them saints. But it's interesting that some of these denominations in writing of the Bible, but in translating of the Bible, and then putting titles, that concept of that saint has gotten in there. I have no problem with calling Matthew, Mark, Luke, John saints. I have no problem with that. But it doesn't have to be in the title of the Gospels or whatever. So that's just part of that remnant of those that feel like they can vote. That's that influence on even our Bibles. If you have an older Bible or a King James Bible that's based on some of the older texts, it will have that. Anyone else have it? You have St. Matthew, okay? Okay. So some of you do. I don't. It depends on who your publisher is. I have a Holman. I think Nelson's is probably going to have it if you have Nelson's. So it's just kind of I'm not criticizing it. I'm just trying to show you how that has come about. So let's talk about this idea of saint, the biblical view of saint. It comes from the word, and I don't read Greek, but one of the things that, and I don't remember, I think it was Strong's, but there was a numbering system, and Strong's is the one who kind of made it famous. Young's, too, has a concordance. They took every word in the Bible, and they put in the Old Testament, they started with one and went through all the Hebrew, so they attached a number to the word. In the Greek, the New Testament is the same way. So all Greek words have a number. This word saint is New Testament. If you go to look it up in Strong's on a computer, it'll say NT40. So that word is the 40th word that has been in the Greek dictionary. So if we were to take a Webster dictionary and start it, I think the very first word is going to be the letter A, probably. So that'd be number one. And every word would get a number. So if somebody in a different language wanted to know what happy meant, they'd go look for the number so they could look it up. Does that make sense? So we who don't know anything about Greek can act like we know something about Greek. All I know is I can read definitions. And what's fascinating here is this word, the definition of 40 has to do with most holy thing. So it's the word that means holy. And holy means sanctified, consecrated, set apart. So it is something that is already holy. That I want you to get that, because that's really important. Because we're going to look at another word later that is the word that has to do with the process to make something holy, to get it to number 40. So it's interesting that this word saint literally is that word holy. It is the same word that we use for Holy Ghost. God is holy, right? The Spirit is holy. In the Bible, it refers to the Holy Father, the Holy One. It refers to Jesus Christ. It refers to the Holy Scriptures. It's holy. It's consecrated. Holy prophets. Saints. That word saint literally means holy, consecrated, set apart, most holy thing. And then in the definition, it literally says saint. That is that word. So what we could say is saint is a holy person, like it describes Holy Ghost, Holy Father, Holy Scripture, Holy Prophets. Jerusalem is called Holy City. Holy person, a child of God. More than that, one who is dedicated to be holy, serving the Lord. And we'll look at that just a little bit more. Peter talks about the idea of holy. Look at verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God has declared. And those are all NT New Testament Greek word 40. Holy, consecrated, already holy, already set apart. Be ye holy, as God is holy, separated, consecrated. It means holy. It means void of sin, void of impurity, void of contamination. To get something to be holy, it has to be made pure, right? And so this is the state in which it is already pure. So this idea of saint is one who has already been purified, clean, holy. And that, be ye holy as I am holy, that Peter's quoting Leviticus 20, verse 7. But verse 15 he says, but as he which hath called you holy, so as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner. Be separate, be clean in your conversation. Remember, we talked about two kinds of sins. One was the way we act, and the other is the way we talked. Be holy in your conversation and the things you say. Verse 16, the latter part, sanctify therefore yourselves. Be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Now, this word sanctify is the word, it's number New Testament 37, Greek word 37. And it means to make pure. So look at what it says. Sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. You know what? I was not born holy. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me that I was born a sinner. So how can I be holy? How can I be a saint? The word saint literally means that word holy, which is already set apart. So in order to be this holy, I somehow have to sanctify yourself, right? I have to purify myself. I have to get rid of the sin and the contamination. And how do I do that? I ask Jesus Christ, forgive me of all of my sins. That's how I sanctify, set myself apart. For I am the Lord your God. Sanctify yourselves. Then you can be holy. Right? We could even read that as sanctify yourselves, setting yourselves apart so you can be holy. And be ye a saint. Because that's the exact same word, holy and saint, the exact same word. So there in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, that's from our text verse, and it talks about what we aren't to do. Don't let these things even be made, named among you, as becometh or as fitting for saints. If I was to be committing fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness, I wouldn't be holy. Thus, I couldn't be called a saint. I would have to go through the process of sanctification, right? To make myself, God does it, to make me holy as becometh fitting a saint. Timothy talks about this process of becoming holy. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. He's going to be holy, but he has to first do some purging, get rid of the old, get rid of the sinful, sanctified, meet for the master's use. And that word sanctified there is holy and used and prepared unto every good work. And then here is the other word, 37 and 40, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Verse 37, the process of purification in Christ, called to be saints, are holy, with all in every place, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Okay, so let's talk about what the Bible says about saints, because it's really pretty fascinating. If you remember, the word saints, plural, is used, and it means holy. So a saint is a holy person, right? As Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy God, Holy One, as Jesus is holy. So holy person, that's what it's talking about, being a saint. And so what does the Bible want us to know about this? And the word saints is used 61 times in the New Testament. That's quite a bit, actually. And then the word saint, singular, is only used once. So it's usually in the plural talking about a group. And I'm going to show you why that is here in a minute. So let's talk about some of the things the Bible talks about saints. Romans 8:27. I love this verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit that searches our hearts. And it says, because he, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it talks about those that are holy. And in our prayer life, we're to pray according to the will of God. Have you ever been in your life where you don't know what the will of God is? We're to pray anyway. And the Holy Spirit, when we are holy, separated, consecrated in our relationship with God, separated from all those impure things, the Holy Spirit will make known what we don't even know we need, don't even know how to describe. We just have to have a conversation with the Lord. So one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he intercedes on our behalf and helps in our praying, in determining and helping us with the will of God. Also, it talks about we as saints need to be able to grasp, comprehend, to know the love of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. Oh, that we could actually comprehend. What are we to comprehend? What is the breadth, which is the width, the length, the depth, the height, all of the dimensions, the full dimension, the full expression of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ with patchless all understanding. I always found this verse interesting, that you may comprehend, that you may know what is the dimension, how big, how great, how wonderful the love of God is, which is beyond knowledge. And yet we need to grasp it, right? So as much as I can grasp, the love of God is even bigger than that. The love of Christ is even more than that. But we need to know it is good for us as saints. In our holiness, in our sanctifying, being sanctified, this getting rid of the sin, the process of sanctification to be holy, it is good for us to understand the love of God and how much he loved me and how he died for me. For if I understand all that God has done for me because he loves me, it will make me want to get rid of all those worldly things, to be sanctified and to be holy and to be a saint and live that kind of life, which passes all knowledge. You may be filled with all the fullness of God. Talking about in dealing with saints, in relationship to the church, and the phrase here is for the perfecting of the saints. And he has given some, this is talking about Jesus Christ, has given some to the church. And we know that because we can go down to verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? The local church, right? So the local church, he gave some apostles. There's 12. Actually, there's 14 if you add them all up, counting Judas, Matthias, and Paul. So they have this special office. It's limited. And he gave some, and he set them in the church, and prophets, those who tell about the Word of God before we had the Word of God, those who are good at evangelism, those who are pastors, those who are good at teaching. And why did he set these people who would be able to impart the word of God to us? For the perfecting, for the making complete of the saints, those who are holy. And that word is encompassed within the church, right? Perfecting of the saints, the holy ones within the church, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the Lord's church, local New Testament church, the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all of the churches of the saints. Saints and churches. Church seems to equal saint. Saint seems to equal church. And I'll show you that here. So unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at your Bible, it says here, called to be saints. If you look, the to be should be italicized. Okay? Do you know why it's italicized? What does it mean when it's italicized? It's not really there in the language. So what is there is this word called. And this word called is 2564, and it means to call saints. Now, what's interesting, we know a word that has this same word in it, and that is the word ecclesia, and that is a called out, it's two words, a compound word, called out assembly. The called out part is the same as called out saints. And who is he calling out? What are they called? Called saints, called out saints, called out to be saints, separated from the world. That's what his church is. We can almost equal called out saints is his church. You're not going to find anywhere in the scripture where someone is called with the group of saints is not equal to or equivalent to or part of the church. That's what it's talking about. And we as a church should be his called out assembly, and we as a church should be called out and holy, separated from the world, right? That calling out equals the same institution, the Lord's New Testament church. Called to be, or called saints, or called out saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And we see the same concept there in Romans 1, verse 7. Told it be in Rome, beloved, called to be, that's in italics, right? So that's that called out that comes from that ecclesia, saints, holy. That is what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be consecrated, separated, holy, purified from all those things. That should be what a church is. Holy people. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also we find it talks about, in dealing with the Bible, describing saints, the faith once delivered unto the saints. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful that I write unto you and exhort you, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Delivered unto the saints, what's another way we could word that? The New Testament is written to who? Who's the audience? To the church at Philippi, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Colossae, the church at okay, I'm sure there's more. Thessalonica. Once delivered unto the churches. And here he uses interchangeable the word saint. Called saint. Called to be. Called out saints. His church is made up of, should be made up of, those who are sanctified holy. Once delivered unto the saints. The other thing that's interesting is how the word saint is used in regard to the book of Revelation, and there's four different places that John makes reference. And maybe your Bible has Revelation of Saint John. It's actually a revelation of Jesus Christ, right? It tells us in the first chapter. I have no problem calling, I think John was a saint. I think he was a church member. I think he was a holy person. I have no problem calling him a saint. What is his view? What does he share with us? There's four things that he shares with us. One of them is one of those that I really find fascinating. The very last three words, prayers of saints. The prayers of saints. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials. And in these vials of odors, which come up to God as sweet smelling, and these vials are, they're simply containers, which are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of those who have sanctified themselves. It's interesting, it never tells us there before the throne that there's prayers of anything other than saints, those who are, so we need to be serving God, and when we pray, making ourselves right, and God will hear us as we pray to him. Revelation 8 verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And then also verse 4 there, and the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended before God and the angels, and it was a sweet, God received that prayer. Our prayers are important when we pray to the Lord. Also in Revelation, it talks about the patience and the faith of the saints. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed. This is the part I want you to get. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. In Revelation, it appears that the items of the saints, the works of the saints, are being appreciated. First, we have the prayers of the saints, right? God appreciates those. Here we have the patience of the saints being appreciated by God, right? The faith of the saints being appreciated. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints coming up before the Lord. Here is the patience of the saints, Revelation 14:12. Here are they that keep the commandments. He is appreciating what saints, what holy ones, what consecrated people are doing, their prayers, their patience, their faith, their obedience is all appreciated by God here in Revelation. And the nations were angry, and the wrath has come in the time of the dead, and they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give rewards unto the servants of the prophets and to the saints. So there's an appreciation, right, for what they've done. Their prayers, their patience, their faith, their obedience. And now we see that because of this appreciation for what the saints have done, there is going to be a reward to the saints and them that fear his name, both small and great, and should destroy them, destroy the earth. And then the last one I want us to consider in Revelation, and it is granted to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, the righteousness of the saints, this is literally the bride of Christ, which is made up of the faithful of the Lord's churches. Almost always you can see church and the word saints is synonymous, that they are equal, that they can be interchanged, if you will. The fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, or the righteousness of the Lord's New Testament churches. In closing, if the pianist and song leader will come forward. This idea of saint, some people think that we elect people. It's not something we elect, it's something you choose in your life. That first of all, you have to sanctify. That, remember that Greek word 37, which means to purify, to sanctify. And then as you purify, sanctify yourself, you're holy and presentable to the Lord. What did Paul tell Timothy? A usable vessel, a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel that God can use. And that's that, what that word saint means. Two quick statements. Ephesians 1:1, it says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. We could say to the saints that are at Aloha, right? At this church. Ephesians 2:19, but fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens with, we are fellow church members with one another. How are you doing in your relationship? That's really what that word holy means, our relationship with God. How are you doing in your relationship with the Lord? Let's all stand. What page?